sisters every day attracted themselves to him and coming up to me, oh, this guy's a great guy. This is like, okay. No wonder you didn't want to come back. Praise the Lord. But we had a fabulous time. And so it was great. We got to spend a bit of time with each other also and get to know each other. Ain't sometimes you live with somebody that you really get to know them, amen? So my son and I, we're both blessed to spend some time with Andreas too. It was a great time. All right, praise the Lord. But I'm glad to be back. I'm happy to be back. Hallelujah. Why don't you go to, we're going to go to the Word of God now. Are you ready for the Word of God today? Amen. Also, I heard that the leadership team that we have here in place, amen, and yourselves, that you all had a fantastic week also, amen, as well as a Sunday last week. So how many people know we're running a team here? That's how we're thinking here in this ministry. We are a team. Hallelujah. And it's good to see everyone taking our place and stepping up in our respective places and preaching the gospel and representing our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. You can just stand with me as we read the Word of God. Amen. Those of you that are able to stand. And the Word of God reads, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me.' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we just thank you, Lord, for the grace of your presence. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. You yourself manifesting yourself here. We thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit upon all flesh here in this place. Saved, unsaved, male, female, Father God, you've outpoured your Spirit. By your Spirit, arrest our hearts today, arrest our minds today, stir and move, overshadow us, speak resoundly, resolutely, Heavenly Father. As we're gathered around your truth, help us to hear and sense what you're saying to our hearts and our lives. We thank you, Lord, for that prophetic anointing here where the presence of God is. Speak, and may the truth of your word rest, reside in the depths of our hearts and our lives, and may the seed of your word take root and bear fruit, Lord, to your honor and to your glory. And we thank you for divine inspiration here in this place. And everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Be ye baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost." Amen. You go ahead and be seated today. Amen. And we thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Today, I want to speak on the concepts of baptism. Somebody said concepts. Amen. Baptism. When you look at some of the truths of the Bible, you can view it and see it. And how God speaks to me a lot of times is a few concepts. You see a principle in place, and then I see how I get ideas about that principle, how it reflects and relates to how we live life today, how and what is really speaking beyond the principle. Amen. So this portion of scripture, we see a ritual, a church ordinance, a ritual or ceremony like baptism, which ought to be observed by all believers. And I believe that baptism here represents or mirrors different aspects of spiritual truths and dynamics that can take place in our lives. Somebody say baptism. Amen. So when we look at the scripture, I believe we can look at the scripture much like how Jesus would communicate to humanity via a parable. Somebody say parable. And a parable is a way of using something naturally speaking about something that you see in the everyday world to communicate a spiritual truth. Remember, Jesus would speak about the farmer sowing seed and how some seed will fall on good soil, some seed will be swallowed up by weeds. He was using something natural to give a concept to communicate a spiritual truth. And I believe that when we look at baptisms today, we're gonna get just not just the principle and the act and the ordinance and the ritual of baptism, what it is, but also that there be some concepts and spiritual truths that we'll be able to extrapolate from the truth of God and apply to our lives. Can you say amen by faith with me? Amen. So this portion of scripture we see John the Baptist, and they said John Pond there, but anyway, praise the Lord. We see John the Baptist. Amen. Not John Pond, but John the Baptist. And his baptism was known as a baptism unto repentance. In other words, John used to invite the nations to come to him, and the nations would come to him, and they would get baptized for the cleansing of sin. In other words, they would come to him because they were contrite and they felt sorrowful and mournful because they had done something wrong. Hello, somebody. So his baptism was the baptism unto repentance or cleansing. All right. So for them, the baptism represented going down into the water and the water cleansing them because they had done something wrong and they were contrite. But when Jesus came to John now and he came to John to get baptized, remember John was saying, you know what, I really should not be baptizing you. You come to me for me to baptize you. And he says, no, rather it should be me being baptized by you. But we know from scripture that Jesus rebuked him and corrected him and says, suffer it. And then he says, no, let this happen so that it fulfills all righteousness, or for righteousness' sake. Amen. So how many people know that baptism is not just, for me, from that, I get that baptism must be a bit more than just about being cleansed from something. We must be able to extrapolate draw something from it that communicates much more than what John's baptism was for. His was for cleansing, but Jesus said, no. This baptism is not just to deal with things that are wrong. Baptism can also make some things right. Are you hearing me? So he said, no, suffer it to be so for righteousness' sake. Amen. This has a lot more to do, amen, with your life in Christ, amen, than just washing away some wrongs. Jesus' baptism wasn't necessary with respect for need or cleansing. And it'd be easy to infer, well, it was just something redundant, it's unnecessary, he's just doing it for the sake of doing it. But it meant much more than that. Can you say amen? For one thing, I want to say Jesus' baptism was about identifying, for one. Amen. Or identifying with you and me, identifying with humanity. How many of you know Jesus is with you all the way? Oh, Lord have mercy. Didn't he say he'll never leave you nor forsake you? Amen. Somebody said he'll never leave me and he'll never forsake me. Now that second part, never leave you nor forsake me, the second part, never forsake me, a lot of people will think, well, he's just saying the same thing twice. He's just trying to elaborate and enhance upon it. But it's actually a different word. How many people know there's someone can never leave you, but they can be with you, but they can forsake you and still be with you? Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. People can be with you and not with you. I am. Jesus said, listen, I'm not just with you. I'll never leave you, but I'll never forsake you. Wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, I'm going through it with you. Come on, someone. I feel everything you feel. I sense everything you sense. Listen, I will suffer with you. I'll go down with you, and I will rise with you. That's what the forsake part means. He says, I'll never leave you. I'm with you. I want to tell you, no, whatever you're going, we're in this together. We're in this together. So he says, I'll never leave. So when he's going down, he's identifying. He's sending the message out to you. Now listen, I identify with humanity in everything. Everything. Amen. He imagine Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15 says that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize or empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in all points. I want you to know that every place you struggle or fight a battle, you feel challenged, Jesus has felt the same battle, had the same challenge, and had the same fight as you, but his without sin. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody got it right. All right. Every place you he is a representative of humanity. This is Jesus here in his human state, his human condition. Please remember that. Somebody say human state and his human condition. Amen. That John the Baptist, when I want to say this also, when Jesus first showed up on the scene, John the Baptist saw him. He says, "Look, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." We're just going to lay a foundation. We know that. I think it's in Matthew chapter 3, I think it was. He says, "Behold, look, that's the Lamb of God." Somebody say, "The Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." The Bible also says that the Lamb was slain when? Before the foundations of the earth. All right? Just laying some groundwork before we get moving. The Lamb was slain when? The foundations of the earth. Yet when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Amen. But the Bible also says the Lamb was slain, was killed, was murdered. When? Before. I want to tell you something, that a decision and a judgment had already been made by Jesus. Amen. To be dead on behalf of you and I before we were even created. It was almost like the Lord was planning to have children, and then, but how many know God's able to see the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end? And not all that, he also sees all the in-between. And yet when he made creation, he was able to say, "It is good." Now, some of you might think that you keep surprising God and upsetting God, but let me tell you something. You didn't upset God. You didn't surprise God. Everything, your start, your middle, and your end, he saw. And he was able to say, "It is good." When the Bible says in Genesis that God made everything, and after he rested, he looked at everything that he made and said, "It is good." He wasn't just talking about then. He was talking about now. And he was talking about tomorrow. He was talking about from the beginning of your life to the end of your life, he said, "It is good." Yeah, but it is good. And how many people know he even saw the bad in the middle of, oh, praise the Lord. But how many know he knows the end? I want somebody to say, "My life's good." So I'm good. Everything's going to turn up good in Jesus' name. Come on, someone, come confess it. It's important. You got to know you're good. I want you to turn to your neighbor. I want you to speak by faith and say, "You're good. It's all going good. It's going to end good. It may look bad right now. It may feel bad right now, but it's good." Say, "God's good all the time." Tell your neighbor, "All things are going to work for good. Because you love God and he's called you." It's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Help me preach today. Help me preach. And so it's like the Lord decided to make you and I. And then he saw, you know, Then he saw the struggle. Let's call it the struggle that we will have in between, you know, being our beginning and our end. And then, I mean, you know, he had a choice then whether to, we know how some people do it. Boy, I don't know whether I want to have these kids if this is what's going to happen. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. So he had a choice. And then he says, you know, sometimes you got to count. The Bible says that count the costs. You know, consider what it is you're going to, consider the endeavor, the route you're going to go down, what you're going to build, what you're going to construct, what you're going to attain to. He says, count the costs, amen, and then you got to, like, decide in your mind, you know what, whatever it takes, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I mean, you know, most people don't have children, and they say, "Right, I'm just going to hang in there, and as long as they behave themselves, I'm going to stick with them, but as soon as they start getting naughty or bad, I'm going to cut out and leave them." No, come on, sisters, help me. Amen. All right, come on, man. We don't do that either, do we? Praise the Lord. Amen. So you know, when it's good, amen, you stick with it. When it's bad, you stay there and you pay the price. You don't like abort your mission or decide, you know what, I'm not going to have them. All right. So One of the perspectives to look at this, the word of God when it says the lamb was slain, is that God made a decision about you. Christ made a decision about you. He knew that you were coming. He looked at me, he looked at Robert and said, oh boy, this kid, man, he's going to be all kind of messed up. And he probably looked at me and says, I'm a disabled. Yeah, I took things to a whole never level. I'm going to be messed up, tore up. And he says, you know what, but I've decided, amen, I'm going to stay committed to him. I'm going to let him be born, and I've worked out that I could pay the price and sustain him in life and work with him to get through life, and it's all good. Are we getting it? Yeah? So the lamb was slain before the decision and the choice, and how, even though he didn't cut out on me part way. All right? How, even though he's not going to cut out on you? Amen. He's already made a decision and a choice to go all the way with you. And he also has seen the end product, because God exists outside of time. God's not like me and you. We're subjective. What's going to happen next? He's seen everything. He's outside of time. In fact, he already gave us time so we can get some stuff in order. Amen. So time is a gift. Amen. Time is a gift. All right, time is so that you can get things in order. Because when you get outside of time, and you know it's too late, you've run out of it. But that's another story. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Christ is a representative. So now we've got that out of the way. Amen. Jesus is a representative of humanity. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 22, that Christ indeed has been raised from the dead. He's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. So just, I'm not going to stay there long. Effectively, amen, we were all in the loins of Adam. Amen. And when Adam fell, when somebody said when Adam fell, say not Eve. When Adam fell, yeah, because everybody was up in Adam. All right? Humanity fell. So then Jesus has come to make things right. But I want you to know, he couldn't come to make things right as God, because he had to follow protocol. He had to be, there were certain legalities that had to be adhered to. He said, God is a God that keeps his word. And if he gave, when God made creation, he gave power and authority to who? To man. So if a man messed it up, it's going to take a man to correct it. Are you hearing me? Does that make sense? So, you know, and so he's got to come, okay. You know, there ain't nobody who's able to make it right. So he already made a decision. Wow, man, things are going to get all messed up. Somebody's going to have to go down there and make that right. And because authority was given to man and man lost it, amen, it's going to take a man to regain the authority to make things right again in this world. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is this making sense? If it's not making sense, it will do at some point in your life. Hallelujah. So then Jesus had to come. And to me, this is one of the first baptisms that ever took place. When God himself had to be baptized into humanity. Are you hearing me? He had to be immersed. It couldn't be just, I just dip my toe in. He had to be immersed in humanity. He had to become fully man. I think that's called the study of Christology, and where is this study of how God is fully man yet fully God. And there's a scripture I want us to look at today. It's found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So somebody tell your neighbor, I've got attitude. Tell your neighbor, you've got an attitude. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you can set your attitude. You know, people say, this person made me like this. No. You have authority over your attitude, over your mindset, over your mental disposition. Okay? Now, you switch it on, you turn it, you do what you want with it. If you've got a bad attitude, you choose to have a bad attitude. He says, let this mind, let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. You got that? So the Bible says, listen, you have power to change your attitude, to change your mental disposition and set it up in a certain way. It says that who being in the form of God, so he was God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he could have said, you know what? I'm the boss right here, and I'm keeping my rights, and so. But no. But the Bible says, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. In other words, he relinquished certain rights and authority that he was legally entitled to. Amen. He emptied himself. He relinquished it and said, I'm coming as a human being, as a man, as a man. He was a full representative of humanity. He was 100% man. Somebody said 100% man. And the Bible says, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled him. Oh, watch this. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. So, being found in the appearance of man, now he's living life. And the Bible says he humbled himself. In other words, life situations and circumstances and challenges took place. Oh, okay, challenges took place in his life, and he had opportunity, you know, to step out of that human mode. You know, things happened, and we could just say, you know what, I'm going back for my rights. I'm going back to use my divine power. I can't, you know, I'm going through a tough time here, and I don't want to do it as a man. He had opportunity to shift and to switch and to change. Are you hearing me? You got the guys going to have to stay focused. It's not every week you can get shouting, amen, and spitting and dancing around. Hallelujah. Okay? Tell me more. Teaching's good. Preaching's good. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Preaching is more about declaring. Amen. Confessing and opening the door. And then preaching comes to explain things a bit more. I like to say that you can't teach what ain't preached. So this has been preached, but now it's going to be taught. So you're going to have to settle with this one. Fan yourself if it's a bit hot. Somebody put the fan on. Stick one of them on, not both of them. Praise the Lord. So here he is. So the Bible says he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. So there's this, as a man who's fully, as a person who's fully God and fully man, the Bible says he was, as a man, he humbled himself and stayed obedient even all the way to the cross, to death. He didn't ever stop being a man. He stayed obedient to being, somebody says, stayed obedient. That's him. And it's important we get this because this is going to mean something a lot more soon. He was identifying, connecting with you and me, never leaving you, never forsaking you. Come on, somebody. He says, listen, I'm here for you. I'm with you. Everything what you've gone through or going through, going to go through, I've been through it. I'm your representative. Come on, so he's not leaving you an inch nor yard. Are you hearing me? He's identifying. Somebody said identifying. That is exactly what he humbled himself. And so he's identity. So, and I like this part. Even to the point of the cross, he's God. He is God. He is God, but yet he humbled himself, amen, and stayed as a man. Anytime he could have stepped out of manhood and started walking in his divinity, in his godhood, but he said, no, I'm staying obedient. I've been called to be baptized, fully immersed, and be a human being, and all the way to the point of death. And that's what gets me about Christians these days. Here's God himself, amen, humbling himself, being baptized into humanity. And then you get, and I've heard some of these arguments. I know some of you all have to. You ever heard Christians talking about, they put it on social media, well, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. And why are you getting saved? What are you getting back? What's baptism for? And we got all these arguments and semantics and theologians talking about this and talking about that and this and that. And yet here we have God, amen, who's humbled himself as a man, baptized himself into humanity. And we've got Christianity, and that, well, we were saved by faith. Yeah, we're saved by grace through faith, and not of myself. It's not work. So why do we have to be baptized? How many of you know if the man, when I say the man, Jesus Christ said, be baptized, and he told the leadership of the church, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. How many of you know, as Christians, those of us who say we are Christians and we are believers in Jesus Christ, if God himself, Jesus himself said, get baptized when you get saved, how many of you know that shouldn't be an argument? That shouldn't be nothing about, well, I don't know. And the truth is, amen, is that you don't need to get baptized to be saved. The truth is you are saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah. But the man said, when you're saved, get baptized. You know, if he's big enough to humble himself and identify and say, listen, I'm hooking up with you. You need to identify with me. And we're going to see why it's important to identify with him. And you know, sometimes people can be worse than the devil. No, I am serious. I mean, when Lucifer was up in heaven, he started to get on bad and talk about, I will this, and I'm going to displace God, and this and that. God pulled the plug on Lucifer, and Jesus, and pulled up, you know, just pulled the plug on him, and he fell so quick, yeah, that Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning, but not man, not you and me. He said, you know, I mean, no, when Pharaoh was messing about with the children of Israel. Amen. And he sent Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Watch Pharaoh. No, I mean, no, I'll let them go an inch. Yeah. And God had to send 10 plagues. It took 10 plagues. And each of those plagues represented a place of idolatry, of false worship, a stronghold. It had to send 10 plagues to make the man humble himself before the man fell. I want to tell you, and always resisting and fighting God. Oh, praise the Lord. That's why I said sometimes people are the worst than the devil. Amen. We give God some hard work, man. We come up with all kinds of arguments and justifications. I want you to tell your neighbor, just get baptized. Because the Lord said, be baptized. It's not an arguing thing. Amen. They tell your neighbor, they ain't going to kill you unless they hold you down too long. Amen. Some of us need to be held down real long. Praise the Lord. So he humbled himself to the point of death. Amen. Everything that baptism communicates to, another concept of baptism, is that baptism conveys that certain dynamics are taking place. There's a changing and a transitioning is taking place. That you can leave one level and operate and live life at another level. Tell your neighbor, it's about levels. It's about levels. It's about graduating and matriculating from one place to another place. As we know already, the very presence of Christ was a human baptism. And we understand too that when he became human, how many people know he had to reject or deny certain responses? Certain responses to divinity. He had to reject some things, some ways he couldn't act or behave because he was submitted to walking in a certain way. Romans 6, verse 10-12. The word of God says, the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you too must count or reckon yourselves dead to sin. Somebody say count. Somebody say reckon. Dead to sin. Somebody say dead to sin. Say, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin control your mortal body so that you obey its desires. Amen. So here the Bible tells us that Jesus died to sin once and for all, but he lives. But the life he lives to God. Then it tells us that we too must also reckon ourselves dead to sin. Somebody say dead to sin, but alive to God. Dead to sin, but alive to God. Amen. Even when Jesus he had to even reject and deny and reckon and calculate, make the decision and the judgment. That's what that word there means where it says reckon or count. It says that we have to make a judgment. We have to make a decision in our minds and our hearts about our disposition, about our spiritual disposition, that we are dead to sin. Anybody ever try to stop doing something, but you keep doing it? Yeah? You want to know why? Because you're trying to stop doing it without actually making the judgment in your heart and your mind that that's not you. Are you understanding? There has to be a concept. There has to be an imprint. There has to be a vision. Bible says, as a man thinks, Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinks, so is he. As a man thinks, so is he. I don't know about you, but I've had struggles in my life. I'm trying to not do something, amen, or stop this, or stop that. And how many of you know it only happens? And then I said, okay, we want to be this. So we start to change our behavior instead of rather trying to focus on our mindset and our mentality. Are you hearing me? And we get it. So what for us, for people is, when I change my behavior, then I could assent and agree that this is who I am. It don't work that way with God. God says you got to change your mindset. You got to do your tabulating, your calculating, your reckoning. It's your mindset that has to be changed first. And then your conduct and your behavior will follow. Oh, praise the Lord. But we're so used to doing it the other way around. Amen. Yeah, I've got to stop this. I've got to stop that. God says, no. Come here. Let's reason together. Let me get your mind right. Bible says, Romans 12, be transformed. The change will come. Amen. By the what? The renewing of your mind. Amen. But what we generally do is that we want to change. Amen. And we want our change, yeah. And then we want our mind to agree with our change, and that's why we keep going around in circles. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? But what I'm beginning to realize more and more, hang on a minute, you know, let me start trying to change over there and get my mind changed, and then my conduct, amen, will be the fruit of my mindset and my mentality. Somebody say, as my mind thinks, that's what I'll be. So anytime you want conduct and behavior and attitudes to change in your life, amen, don't go changing yourself. Change your mind. You got to expose your mind to something. Come, are you hearing me? So the Bible says, like, now we're getting somewhere. It's the Bible says that we ought to reckon and tabulate our minds. So, you know, that's the internal thing. Reckon and tabulate that you are dead to sin. Dead to sin. What is sin? Sin, they say, and it's to fall short. It's to fall short of the mark. Sin is to fail. Sin is not to make the mark. Are you hearing me? Sin is to get it wrong. Are you hearing me? Sin is to fall foul and to not make it and not get it right. That is what sin is. The Bible says all fall short of the glory of God. But when you get saved now, the Bible says now you got to get inside of your mind and you got to start telling yourself that you are dead to sin. I said you are dead to sin. You're not hearing me. You are dead. You know what it means to be dead? It means to be unresponsive. There is no pulse. There is no life. There is no inspire. Listen, when sin comes to me, I'm not moved by it. And when falling short and being a failure is whispered in my ears, I am dead to that. When something tells me I'm not making it and I'm not going to get there and it will never happen, I am dead. I don't even hear that. I am dead. Are you hearing me? You got to get it right in your mind. You got to be dead to something. That's what baptism means. When Jesus is sent by God, says he was dead to sin once and for all. Dead to it. When it came to him in whatever shape, form, or fashion. And let me tell you something about sin. Sin is real. It has a personality. The Bible says that the God of this world, man, he's out for you. He wants to destroy you. The Bible talks about it has a desire. And it wants to destroy you and rip you and tear you down and mess with your life. It wants to hold you back and frustrate you and stop you becoming or doing all the things that God has called you to be and to do. That is sin. And the Bible says, be dead to it. Don't respond to it. Listen, when sin, listen, one thing I like, it says, Paul says this, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? You know what he's saying? He said, as a believer, as a Christian, you're even dead to death. Oh, you didn't hear that. You're dead to death. He said, death, where is your sting? He said, as a believer, amen, you shouldn't even be alive to that thing, to death. It has got no hold on you. No fear. It shouldn't move you. It shouldn't, you know, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing me today? We're getting somewhere. So it says, reckon, make up in your mind that you're dead to sin. Somebody said dead. Dead to sin. Dead to sin. Dead. You know, sin is like, for the context of today, sin is like some of the company we keep. You know, some of the friends or frenemies that we have, or some of the things that we hang around with and allow we keep company with. Can you hear me? Tell your neighbor, change your environment. Change your company. Yeah, you got to change your environment, change your company, because sometimes we think that we got good company. The Bible says bad company, watch this, corrupts good character. Amen. It didn't say bad company corrupts bad character. I want to tell you something. When you became born again, amen, you became a new person. Jesus made you new. New. The old. The Bible says the old has gone and the new has come. No matter the disposition or the state of your life, how you might feel, or even no matter what the facts may say, truth will always supersede the facts of life. Are you hearing me? And listen, the facts may look like they're ahead. The facts may say you're this, the facts may say you're that, and the facts may say that, but the truth, if you hang on to the truth, amen, watch what the truth will always come up behind the facts, draw level with it, and then go ahead of it. Are you hearing me? The truth is what will liberate you if you hold to it, Jesus said. If you hold to the truth. So, and the truth says that you're a new creation. If you're a new creation, it means you're good. I told you was good. Amen. Ain't that what he said? He looked at you and said, you're good. And the Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. Corrupts. It will degrade. It will frustrate. It will stop the goodness that you have from growing and maturing and from developing, from advancing and from progressing. How many people want some of that in your life? You want to be progressing. You want to be advancing. You want to be going from one place to the next place. You want to be going from faith to faith, the Bible says, to glory to glory. We ought to be matriculating from levels and to next levels and things getting better. But what happens is that sometimes we get stuck on the baptism of John and we're just dealing with the wrong things. Come on, somebody. Not realizing that baptism is more than just dealing with what's wrong. It's about time that we need to get some things right. Are you hearing me? But we're going to get to that. Let's talk about this bad company first. Somebody said, "Man, I keep in a bad company." You know, some of our company that we keep is pigs. We hang out with pigs and swine, and they're dragging us back down inside of the mud, and you're giving them your best. Amen. Even Jesus said, you know what? Don't stop casting your pearls before swine. Let me tell you something. You got some goods. You got some talent, and you got some gifts, and you got some wisdom, and you got some insight, and you got servants inside you, but you keep giving it to the wrong people. They're not doing nothing with it. They're draining you, and they're taking your time away, and maybe part of the problem is that you are just needy, and you want to feel needed, and they make you feel good like you're something. But maybe that may be part of the problem, but you need to get away from the pigs and come out the pig pen and come out the trough, amen, and wake up and say that and realize that God's got something more for you. You got to change your company. You can't be afraid to just break away now. Yeah, you think you're too good for me. Yes, I am. And yes, I do think that. Because the Bible says, if I don't think right, I ain't going to act right. That's what the Word of God says. If you don't start thinking right, Well, the Bible says that don't think too highly of yourself. But it also, that means too highly also means don't think too lowly. It says don't think too lowly. Get it right. And then some verses, and so you gotta reckon yourself, I'm dead to pigs. Oink, oink. The only time I want to see a pig is when it was lined up next to two eggs. Are you hearing me? Sometimes the company we keep is not designed or fashioned to mold and shape you into the person that God's calling you to be or to do. Sometimes we like things that keep us comfortable and feeling good about ourselves. Because but let how many people know we need to die to that. You know, when somebody tells you you'll feel better here, you'll feel more at home here, you'll feel like you'll belong here, you won't feel out of your depth here. Are you hearing me? The tendency for you and I is that when we begin to feel out of our depth, and instead of learning to swim, we go back in the shallow end of life and existence. Are you hearing me? And we go back in the shallow end, in the baby end, in the immature end. Listen, the company you need to keep, you need to get around people and things that make you feel uncomfortable and intimidated. When you need to go into places and marketplaces and offices and friends that where you feel stupid and foolish. That's the place, that's the kind of company you ought to keep, where you are intimidated. But let me tell you something, when you get around things that are higher than you, you know, and you don't allow yourself to be overly intimidated, where you run back in the shallow end of life. And when you stay around those things, come on somebody, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, the Bible says that when we come to Christ, the veil is lifted, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a freedom and there is liberty. And as we behold His glory, we are changed and we are transformed into His likeness. In other words, what you behold, what you see, and what you hang around, you will become, because bad company corrupts good character, but good company, come on somebody, you'll change. You will become what you behold, and especially when there's an anointing. That's why the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty, there is a freeing, there is a veil been lifted. I want to tell you something. If you want to change, don't change. If you want to change, get in the presence of God, amen, and expose yourself to what you want to become and what you want to do. If you want to be successful in business, there's somebody said to me, why do you go to that conference anymore? I said, it's not that I don't like that ministry, or it's not that I don't like what they preach and I'll listen to what they preach, but hey, there's some other stuff that needs to happen in my life. Come on somebody, I'm believing that God wants us to be prosperous. So what I do, I get around and I listen to messages, and I read things, I expose myself to an anointed atmosphere where there is teaching about prosperity, about business. And the more I keep looking at it and reading it, I'm going to be changed, I'm going to be transformed. If you need to change that area of your life, then you find what the Word of God says, find the teaching, find the book, find the truth, and expose yourself to it, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's going to be a liberty for you to change. There's going to be a liberty for you to change. Get around good company, things that challenge you. Stop swimming back to the shallow end. You know what? When the devil, and you, I don't even blame the devil, when you tell yourself, hey, go back to the shallow end, go back to your level, say, no, I'm dead to that. That's what baptism is about, being dead to something. But somebody say alive. That's the resurrection power now. How many know you've got to resurrect? It ain't just dealing with what's wrong. It's dealing with what's right. Resurrection. Resurrection. Man, God, man, geez, hallelujah. God's called some of you all to be ministers of the gospel as a millionaire. To run your own business, to own your own houses. Hallelujah. It's all right. I'm going to keep saying it. And keep saying it. And the reason why you don't get too much amens is, when it comes to that stuff, it's called some of you, amen, to be married, to have a husband and a wife, and to have enough money and be blessed. He's called some of you to heal the sick. Amen. To set at liberty those that are captive. To lead hundreds, if not thousands, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To be used powerfully by Him. Hallelujah. See, the reason you don't get many amens is because we've been swimming in the shallow end. That's all right. You just need to swim out of it. And if you can't see it, you just say amen. God's called something to be blessed. Blessed. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed. 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 Amen. To change you. And He's called you to be used powerfully to see your whole house saved. You look at them as... Are you hearing me? But when you begin to can we go to that scripture? I'm going to think we're going to camp there for it. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 to 19. Amen. Tell your neighbor, don't get stuck. Come up out of the water. Come up out of the water. Man, we're always there trying to clean ourselves. Trying to clean ourselves. Trying to clean up. Come up out of the water. The Bible says then we've got to be alive to Christ. Alive to who? Christ. Alive to God. Stop keeping some of that bad company that tells you negative things about yourself. It says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Taken away. Hallelujah. How many know you've got to turn to Jesus Christ and have the veil taken away? Some people try to do it without the veil taken away. The veil's got to be lifted. Next scripture. Okay. All right. Maybe it's where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there is liberty. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. Amen. Verse 18. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So there's an anointing and a grace. And if you want to be healed and delivered, amen, by all means, hallelujah. Yeah, come to church on Sunday. Amen. But Sundays ain't going to cook, it ain't just going to cut it. If you want to be wealthy and rich, amen, and blessed so that you can be a blessing, because the agenda of your heart counts too, amen, then Sundays, you've got to put some work in. You know, fine. If you believe God's taking your life in a certain direction, there's things that He wants to do and accomplish in your life, get yourself in an anointed environment. Are you hearing me? An anointed environment, tapes, messages, books, where there's been success and teaching and preaching in that area. Let it impact your mind. Let it impact your heart. Let it lead you out. And the more you look at truth, it will change you. You will transform. Many times, but what we try and do, we try and go and do it. And then say, this is who we are. No, you got to let it impact you first and foremost. Amen? Let me just check the time. Praise the Lord. Okay, time's up. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to post this on the podcast, and we'll send it out. We'll check, make sure it's recorded. Somebody said resurrection. Somebody said resurrection. Okay. I'm going to finish on this point now. Shannon, if you just come to the keyboard. Praise the Lord. We're going to finish here. Baptism is also about you deciding, amen, to move into your destiny. You've made it in your mind, this is what I've got to do. It's about stepping into your destiny, moving into your destiny. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do this for us, whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Then they said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and on your left hand in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" You know, and they said, "We are able." So here's Jesus speaking to these two young men. Say, "Yeah, we want to be this and we want that." And he says to them, "Okay, you able to drink what I got to drink, do what I got to do, and be baptized, be committed and be devoted to the very thing that you're being called to do, to accomplish that specific or unique goal or achievement that is needed in your life?" For Jesus, it was going to the cross. Amen. I mean, no, we don't need anyone else dying for us now. God's called us to live for Him. God's called us to live for Him. God's called us to suffer for Him. Somebody say suffer. And all suffering is, it's taking a stance, having a mental disposition that, bam, this is the way I'm facing. And no matter what comes that may seem contrary to what I'm believing God for, I'm going to hold my position. That is the basic definition of suffering. You can make it a lot more, but suffering is to take a position, take a stance, and not compromise it. Are you ready to suffer for the goal, for the vision that God has called you to? Christ went to the cross. And I'm going to tell you something. Many, many, many times as you surrender to be baptized into what you believe God's calling you to become, you're going to be hanging on the cross. You're going to be submitted to the Lord. You're going to be surrendered to God. You're going to be obedient. God's told me to do this. And God's told me to surrender over here. And it may look like the most foolish thing ever. And people will outside you will look and say, they're this weak. Look, they're just weak. How many of you know when Jesus was on that cross, it wasn't weakness. It was meekness. Weakness is without strength. Meekness is strength up under control. Even so much so that somebody next to him was saying, "If you're the Son of God, free yourself." But how many of you know he was submitted, yielded, and surrendered all the way to the point of death. That was his baptism. And I'm believing that God is calling us. He's calling you and he's calling me. And he's put a dream. He's put visions. He's put aspirations in your heart and in your life. And he's saying, "I can make them come to pass." He's put desires in your heart and your life. He says, "I can make them come to pass. I just need you to be alive to me. Wake up to me. Respond to me. Believe in me. Get yourself around things that are going to encourage the vision and the goal that's in your life. The destiny that he's called you to, feed into that. Don't get around bad company that begins to retract and frustrate it and pull it back. And company, bad company could be people or things. Are you understanding? You have to nurture what God is calling you to. And what he wants to do in your life, you have to nurture it. You've got to feed it. And you've got to keep it. It's like growing a plant. You don't just take it and put the seed in there and put it in the worst weather. Sometimes you've got to get a greenhouse. You've got to water it. You've got to nurture it. And let it and help it to grow. Go ahead and stand with me today. So Jesus died on the cross. And let me tell you something. It looked like it wasn't God. He went down. 1 day passed, 2 days passed, 3 days passed. Everyone's talking, everyone's gossiping. Boy, it was good while it lasted. Yeah, nothing was happening. It was some good chat. He was shouting, he was screaming. She was doing all right for a while. And then But I want to let you know when you trust God with what He's told you to trust Him with, and you surrender and yield to doing it His way, there will come a time when it looks like it's gone down and it's buried. But I want to let you know something. God always comes good. There will be a resurrection. There will be a rising. There will be a breakthrough. There will be a miracle. Come on, somebody. God says, I will not allow my anointed one to suffer. You're not going to rot. He says, I will not allow my anointed to suffer decay. It's not going to stay there at that level. Once you begin to put your trust in God, when you once begin to put your hope in God, I want to let you know God is going to come through. He will never leave you nor forsake you, and He will never fail you. He will never fail you. Never fail you. Never fail you. He will bring you back up. But the Spirit of God will arrest you, and the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will raise you and awaken you to the things of God and sustain you and keep you going strong. Come on, somebody, give God some praise in this place. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah, Lord! Are you ready? Be ye baptized. Principles of baptism, death. Something's got to die. Burial, and it's got to be out of sight. Let it stay dead. Resurrection. Let something new come to pass. Death means separate. Break away from some stuff. Company, behavior, attitudes, break away from some stuff. Break away. Somebody say, something's got to die. Burial. Somebody say, buried. Put it out of sight. Amen. Put it out of sight in case you go back. You know when you keep playing with dead things, you know what it's called? Necromancy. You talk to the dead. Practicing the deep, dark level of witchcraft. Bible says, why go ye looking for the living among the dead? There's no life in that. There's no life in that. Jesus said, listen, let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead things play with dead things. But you have been made alive in Christ. If there's no life in it, leave it. Leave it. You know, right here, right now, I feel led to open the altars here. Usually, just have you pray there. You see, I feel led to just open the altars here. Because I feel like God wants to, you know, anything that God asks of you, I want to tell you something. Anything God asks, many times, yeah, I'm going to go and do this. God will never ask something of you unless He's going to empower you to accomplish it. Are you hearing me? And sometimes we just want, how many people want to do good? You want to do the right thing. Yeah? Let me tell you something. You ain't going to be able to do it without Him. So we're going to open these altars here right now and invite you to come to the altars right here, right here, right now. And just lift your hands and say, God, I've heard you. Ask Him for strength. Say, God, strengthen me. Give me wisdom. Show me what it is I've got to die to. Confirm it. Give me the strength to do what I've got to do. Say, Lord, help me to remember this word, because you don't want to forget the word. Say, Lord, I can't do this in my own strength. And I want you to remember also that God will empower you. God will give you the strength. God will give you the provision to fulfill the vision in your life. If you're trying to break away from something, you're trying to be different. It's your mindset, it's your mentality will change, will be instituted. I want to encourage you. Just keep exposing yourself to God's word. Listen to messages. Little by little, bit by bit, whether or not you see the change coming or not, keep listening to God's word. His word will not return void. His word will not return void. It will accomplish the thing for which it has been sent. He who has begun a good work in you, God's going to finish it. God's going to complete it.